You're tuned in to listen to Big Blue Kickoff live on Giants.com. The show will begin shortly.
It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live, only on Giants.com.
Manning going to keep one downfield, past the defense is Cruz, who's got it at the 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown Giants, 70 yards, salsa time, and Big D, Victor Cruz with another.
Play fake, Freeman back to throw, under pressure, heaves it downfield, intercepted by Roll at the 5, runs left to the 15, cuts right back to the 20, looking for a block up to the 30, and drag down there.
Manning takes the snap, back to throw. Sidearms one left sideline, and it's caught for the touchdown by Reuben Randall.
Colzien takes the snap.
Pass intercepted as he threw it right, picked off by a jumping Jason Pierre-Paul, and he runs it in for the touchdown. And finally, Carl, you can say you're down with JPP, the 28-yard TD.
Now here are your hosts, John Schmelk and Lance Meadow.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter if you want to participate online. Social media, hit us up there. We'll be monitoring that hashtag throughout the program. And finally, Lance, one more day of practice before we get to see the Giants on the football field. Thank goodness. We can actually start learning some stuff in game situations that you can't see on the practice field here at training camp at the Quest Diagnostics Training Center.
And that's why everybody on the team is really excited about getting out there. Rashad Jennings spoke to the media yesterday and said, you know, they want to start hitting people and they also want to see how this offense executes. Tom Coughlin also addressed that note and said that he sees progress each and every day, but they have room for improvement. They've only installed so much up to this point. So, you know, there's going to be a nice gauge to determine what this offense is going to present, how the personnel is lined up. We've been speculating for months. It's finally time for some football.
Well, and unfortunately for the Giants, they seem to have a crash of injuries yesterday, for lack of a better word. Will Beedy had to leave practice. I'll tell you what, I tried for about 3 hours yesterday to figure out what was actually wrong with him, and I was unable to do so. So we'll find out if we get more details today on what the deal with Will Beedy is. Honestly, I wasn't sure. Put it this way, I don't think it's anything serious with the legs from what I was able to tell by him walking off the practice field. So we'll see. I honestly wasn't sure he was going to play on Sunday anyway, coming back from that knee injury. I thought they might give him an extra week to kind of get used to contact and practice before they played him. But he's out. Robert Ayers, an ankle injury. Don't think he's going to play on Sunday now. Obviously, Odell Beckham Jr. still has that hamstring. Don't think he's going to – well, in fact, I know he's not going to play on Sunday. Lance's guy, Trindon Holiday, not helping himself, battling
no,
that hamstring injury.
Oh, it's been painful watching practice.
So he is not going to be there on Sunday. Spencer Paysinger dealing with concussion-like symptoms, so he's not going to play on Sunday. So
Bennett Jackson
hurt his ankle, so he's probably not going to play on Sunday. And for so long, Lance, we were joking about how healthy the Giants had managed to stay throughout camp, and then all of a sudden, 2 days, bam, you got a bunch of guys out. Thankfully, one piece of good news, Reuben Randall was back on the practice field yesterday with that hamstring injury. So hopefully he'll be able to go on Sunday to give Eli Manning a chance to gel with his two starting wide receivers.
Well, somebody's going to have to catch the football on Sunday. Corey Washington's another wide receiver who left with a heel injury. So the list just continues to grow. I saw Will Beedy classified as an illness. I'm not sure if there's any stock or substance behind that, but that's what at least the team, I thought, released late yesterday.
Yes. I saw that late yesterday as well, so that is what they're going with. But it was funny, what I was talking about not being able to find out, we had the show last night, our show on MSG, and every beginning of every show we do the injury graphic. So
it was a big graphic.
I wanted to go to a second page. Last year
I was disappointed you didn't go to a second page.
Last year for about a week and a half, I was on two pages for the injury graphic. The only reason we didn't go to two pages is because I didn't put Beeson on there because he's on PUP. But I was looking around and nobody really could figure out why he had to leave practice. But yes, illness is what Hanlon gave me late in the night last night when I talked to him. So you hope he gets back. But again, I'm not really sure that Beedy would have played anyway. I think they're trying to give him a little bit of a break with that knee.
Considering they also have four more preseason games, I don't know if there's a great deal of urgency, as you mentioned, to throw him out there. But, you know, he's the player amongst everybody else who you'd like to see get a few preseason games under his belt just to, you know, get rid of some of the rust and reacclimate himself to Jeff Schwartz, who he's now going to be playing alongside, assuming he locks down that starting job.
Though I'll tell you what, you know, this offensive line was a big question in the offseason, Lance, is where the Giants put a lot of their resources in terms of trying to get this thing fixed. They're going to get challenged because, look, the Bills led the league in sacks last year. They're going to bring the heat. Justin Pugh's going to get challenged by Mario Williams. You got the Pittsburgh Steelers, Dick LeBeau. They're going to bring some pressure in that game.
Very creative
pressure. And
you
know the Jets in that third preseason game for them, fourth preseason game for the Giants, that's the game that quote-unquote counts. You're going to get the Jets, you know, first-string defense or maybe two or three quarters in that game. And guess what? Rex Ryan's bringing the heat. The Jets love to beat the Giants in those games. So this Giants offensive line is going to have to play pretty well this preseason, or they're – quarterback is going to be on his back, and that's the last thing you want to see is Eli Manning getting roughed up in the preseason.
And that Jets defense, even though it battled some injuries, finished 11th in the NFL last season, so it's not as if they're throwing out a bunch of nobodies. I just hope that there's no overtime this season. I don't care if it counts, John, just don't put me through overtime. Can we at least agree to that?
I can get on board.
Give out
that,
the Snoopy
yes.
trophy within regulation. I'm all for that.
201-939-4513. We can talk about the preseason game, what we've seen in practice, players to watch. Lance and I will go through some of the things that we want to keep an eye on for Sunday's game as well. But we have all four lines filled. Let's get to your calls early and often. So with AJ down in South Carolina. AJ, you're up first on Big Blue Kickoff Live this morning. How are you?
I'm doing good. Morning, John, Lance.
Good morning, AJ.
Morning, AJ.
Morning. I got two questions for you.
Only two today.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Who's going to start on the depth chart? Who's going to start on Sunday for, you know, left tackle or, you know?
Well, if Will Beatty can go, and we'll see if that's the case, I'm sure the Giants will Tom Coughlin will say whether or not Will Beatty's going to play at his press conference today. If he can't go, it'll be Charles Brown that'll start over at left tackle.
Okay. My second question is I want to see the Giants offense do something this preseason.
Well, AJ, let me preach some patience here. I think the Giants offense has looked better in week number two in practice. They're still certainly not, in my opinion, where they need to be. I saw some more down-the-field passes in practice yesterday than I've probably seen in most of the training camp practices we've seen. So I think it's coming around. But I think it's going to be two, three, four-game process here before you see this offense really hit its stride.
Okay. I want to see what that – I'm looking forward to that new offense.
Well, this is going to be our first opportunity to get a taste of that, AJ, and appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in. Well, I'll add to what John had to mention. You know, I think it will take a few games. I wouldn't be surprised if we see a flash here or there, or if there's one quarter where the offense really starts to show some consistency. But I believe over the first few games, there's going to be highs, and there's going to be just as many lows with respect to this offense.
And I think it'll be interesting to see, too, one of the things in this offense, Lance, is how they use their running back. And I think it's going to be very different than what Giant fans have been used to seeing. You're going to see much more of a zone blocking scheme. You're going to see guys be much more active out of the backfield, catching the ball. And quite frankly, I think you're going to have a really good battle here for the third running back spot between Kendall Gaskins and Michael Cox. I think they're both going to get significant playing time in the game on Sunday. And I think right now it's almost an even battle between those two guys. I think Gaskins has probably shown a little bit more in practice, but I think Cox, in terms of his skill set, a little quicker, a little faster, gives a little bit of a different feel to the running back group, which may give him a little bit of an advantage.
Well, we were talking about this earlier in the week, John. If David Wilson can't continue, and I'm not comparing Michael Cox and David Wilson, but he has similar skill set in terms of speed that he brings to the table right. In the event you lose David Wilson. But then you also need to consider the ramifications of if you part ways with Michael Cox, you can't put him on the practice squad, whereas Gaskins, you can put
right.
on the practice squad.
Very true.
That's another thing to at least weigh.
201-939-4513. Joel is down in South Jersey. What's going on, Joel? How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing today?
Good morning. Doing well, my friend.
I have two questions. Number one, you know, obviously I'm a little concerned with all the injuries just piling up, you know, out of nowhere. Are we gonna even have enough guys to play on Sunday?
Well, you know what, Joel? They will manage, but you probably are going to see a lot of those second and third string guys. I'm not sure how much they plan to play the starters. My guess would probably be a couple of series on both sides of the ball, so that might get you to a quarter. But I don't think you'll see the ones for much more than that on Sunday night.
Yeah, the one injury that, you know, concerns me is the whole David Wilson. I saw something on ESPN that they're saying it'll be a miracle if he could come back. So I don't know if it's something that's career-threatening, and, you know, obviously it's the first draft pick that we took on him, and, you know, it's just bad news to hear that. Just wanted to know since you got a pulse on the team, you know, what's going on with this injury? Is it career-threatening?
Well, Joe, here's the thing. This injury by itself is not career-threatening. Guys have stingers and burners all the time. The issue is that David Wilson had that neck surgery back in the end of December, beginning of January, and the fact that a hit with relatively limited contact in a summer practice where he just runs into the back of his own offensive lineman, you know, caused him this type of effect on his body is probably a very bad sign. And, you know, the Giants have to decide. And this is a team that traditionally is pretty conservative in terms of injuries. They're not going to put guys out there if they're at danger. And they're going to put themselves and their body and their life in some at some sort of risk. So, to me, I agree with a lot of the reports. My instinct is that even if his career's not over, the Giants will hold him out a while because they, you know, the bottom line here, Joel, the Giants don't want to be the team that on national TV watches one of their players get taken off the field on a stretcher and they end up getting paralyzed for the rest of their lives. The Giants don't want to be that team. They want to protect these guys, and quite frankly, sometimes you have to protect them from themselves because David Wilson, I'm sure, would want to go out there and play tomorrow. He said that, look, after, you know, I had the issue, I felt fine, you know, and he said, I've never felt any pain from this. I feel okay. I want to play. Well, you know what? That doesn't mean that you aren't more susceptible to a potential catastrophic injury than other guys. So it's the Giants' responsibility here to protect David Wilson's life, not protect his football career.
I have another quick question for you if I could. You know, talking about the running backs, obviously the guys that blocked for them, you know, I think this kind of gone under the radar with the whole fullback position. I know we got Connor and we got Hanowski now. Who do you think when it's all over, who's going to pretty much, I'm sure we're only going to carry one fullback. Who do you think, you know, has the edge, you know, from what you've seen in training camp so far?
Well, I would say, Joel, that Hanowski has the edge just because he stood out here or there during practice, but John Connor could really make a statement during the course of the games. The other thing to note, they've been using the tight ends as fullbacks, too, within this system, and they plan to do that moving forward. I'm not saying that means that they're going to cut Hynoski and Connor, but if you take into consideration, Joel, that the tight ends are used more as a fullback, there probably isn't a need to keep just two fullbacks if you can get more use out of other positions.
There's absolutely no way this team keeps two fullbacks, Joel, and I think I'm with Lance. I think right now Hynoski has the early lead. He's flashed a little bit more in camp, and he's more versatile. He's a better receiver out of the backfield than John Connor is, and I think he can probably do a little bit more. But like Lance, I think there's an outside chance at this point. I want to say like 10-15% chance that the team decides, look, we're just going to, you know, run a tight end back there as an H-back, and we're not going to carry a fullback. And if you want to have a big back in the backfield that catches some passes, you have Peyton Hillis. I think there's an outside shot that happens. I think it's unlikely, but I think it's something that's certainly on the radar when the Giants decide when to break down this roster at the end of August, beginning of September.
Though, just to add, Joe, real quickly, if you look at Green Bay's roster, they did have John Kuhn over the last few seasons, if you just want to use that for comparison.
But he also not a traditional fullback. He was more that Mike Allstott type where, you know, he can
goal
lead block.
Back.
But he's more of a big bruising back. And the Giants, Joel, just for the record, have not used Hillis in that lead blocker role so far in camp. So just a couple things to note there.
Yep. All right, guys. Thanks a lot. I appreciate the time.
Joel, no problem, man. Thanks for the call. And I think that it'll be an interesting thing to watch, you know, how much they decide to use that fullback. You know, to me, in this offense, Lance, the only time you're going to see the fullback on the field is in obvious running situations, goal line, inside the, you know, not even, you know, green zone. I'm talking inside the five, goal line situations. I'm talking, you know, third and one, fourth and one. That's when you're going to see the fullback on the field. Otherwise, like you said, I'm going to expect three wide receivers, maybe a tight end motions into the backfield, a lot of single back stuff. I don't think you're going to see the tight end out there a ton. I mean, the fullback out there a ton. I got to be honest with you.
We may even see some double tight end formations, too.
Yeah,
if they just don't think that they could find an all-around tight end, they have one guy block and one guy go out and receive.
And right now, Larry Donnell is number one on the depth chart, by the way, at tight end. Coach Coughlin has said a couple nice things about him in press conferences. And a couple guys, 1050 ESPN Radio and WFN, have been here over the past couple of days. And Ancho Roll, I think, said the other day that Donnell has stood out to him among the tight ends. So I guess right now, if you had to pick a lead dog in that race, you'd pick Larry Donnell, but it's still pretty wide open to me. And if I had to guess now, my dark horse is still Daniel Fels to be the starting tight end.
Well, probably the most polished, most experienced guy.
Especially as a receiver.
Correct. And he spoke about his experience earlier in the week, how difficult it was to be out of football all of last year. Went for a few tryouts, stayed committed, stayed dedicated, and now has an opportunity here. I would be surprised if they rely on just this youthful group. They're going to keep a veteran. Either Kellen Davis or Daniel Fells is making this team.
And I'll say this, too. There's nothing wrong with having Donnell and Fells split. You know, if you want more of a receiver in there, you use Daniel Fells. You want more of a blocker, you can use Larry Donnell. So there's certainly different things you can do with those tight ends as well. 201-939-4513. Ed's down in Surf City. Ed, what's going on?
Nothing much. How are you?
Doing great, Ed.
Since it's been a while since I've called in, I like to go over my predictions and prophecies for the 2014 season.
Sure, Ed. Bring it on.
I have us the New York Giants going 9-7. I think they're going to start off 4-1, and then they're going to lose 4, and then they're going to split down the rest of the season. And I think Eli Manning will throw for 29 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, 4,136 yards.
Now, I have a question, Ed. How'd you get to 4,136?
Just a guess.
I thought there was some kind of science behind it. But you know what? Here's a little bit this way. If Eli can put up those stat numbers, I think that means this offense has been a success. Ben McAdoo's had a great year. And I would imagine that if Eli does throw for those numbers, you will see a contract extension for Eli Manning next offseason.
Okay. And one more just mundane question, I guess. How is Reuben Randall doing? I haven't heard much.
You know, Randall's caught some passes. You know, he's done okay. I haven't seen him do anything poorly. I haven't seen him do anything spectacular. He hasn't flashed this year like he did in last year's training camp, but I thought he really was one of the strongest, you know, participants in practice. He's been fine. I mean, I don't think there's anything that would be a red flag, but nothing that really would be a green flag either.
He's been limited by a hamstring injury, and the one thing that John mentioned, just to note, last season all the time about how Randall really stood out and it didn't necessarily translate to the regular season, sometimes you can only put so much stock into who jumps out to you in practice because it doesn't always transfer over.
Okay. That's all I got.
Hey, thanks for the call, Ed. Good to hear from you.
Thank you.
Don't be a stranger. 201-939-4513. Back to the phones. Andrew's in Stanhope, New Jersey. Andrew, good morning.
This is Keith from Kentucky.
Oh, I'm sorry, Keith. What's going on, man?
Hey, no problem, man. Hey, I was kind of looking at the running backs, and even with David Wilson, you know, having his issues, I mean, I really want David Wilson to come back healthy. But being at the Giants organization – plays as safe as they do, I think at best they might reserve him for next year. That's at best, I think, because I know they're just really safe. So we'll see how that goes. But I think we're going to run the ball a lot more than what people think. I really think we are. And I think that's going to be the whole trick of the thing. And I'm a little more optimistic on the record on 1-10-6 side just because of DRC. What's been shown on the website, DRC is looking really good. Like, we haven't had that probably forever, a shutdown corner. What do y'all think?
Well, he really has jumped off the page and jumped off the sheet in terms of what he's been able to do during the course of practices and OTAs and minicamp. I think he's brought some energy and consistency to this group. They haven't had necessarily a guy in that cornerback group, I would agree with you, over the last few years, Keith, that has, you know, been classified as a true shutdown guy. Prince has had his flashes, but he's also been fairly up and down. And let's not forget bringing in Walter Thurman, too, who I wouldn't necessarily classify as a shutdown guy, but when it comes to the nickel, when it comes to a slot corner, he's as close to a shutdown guy as you're going to get. So with those two in the fold, and you hope that the safeties stay healthy, this is by far the deepest secondary that I've seen since I've been covering this team.
Right. So going off of last year, I'm just going off of last year. You know, we didn't have Corey Webster. He was out of the picture. We really didn't have Keem Nicks. I believe we should do just that much more, that much better than last year.
Well, here's the thing, too, Keith. I think the secondary's numbers were bolstered last year a lot by that stretch in the middle of the season when, quite frankly, the Giants played some of the worst quarterbacks in football, too.
Right. Right. Okay. Okay.
You know, but think of it this way. Last year, they had a stretch of games where they played Josh Freeman, a one-legged Michael Vick into Matt Barkley. Then they got Pryor start for the Raiders that game?
Correct.
Okay. And then they had Scott Tolzien for the Packers. So that's a quarter-year schedule right there against some pretty awful quarterbacks. And then throwing the two games against the Redskins, where they obviously were a pretty bad team last year.
Pryor started that game, but he was dealing with a knee injury himself.
Correct.
So that's
what
the problem.
I remember he was hurt. Yeah. I forgot if he had played or not, but You know, so there you go, Keith. You know, look, I think the secondary is going to be excellent. I think it's the strength of this team. It's the best position group. I agree. Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie is the best player that I've seen since I've been here, and I've been here longer than Lance. But he's did fantastic. I mean, you just rarely see guys catch balls on him. He's been that good.
Right. Okay. Appreciate it, guys.
Hey, thanks for the call, bud. 201-939-4513. Now Andrew's in Stanhope, New Jersey. Andrew, what's going on?
He's the player, one of the players that I'm looking forward to seeing the most. And this preseason, I think, is one of the biggest in my lifetime. And there's so many new players, free agents, the most free agents, I think, ever that they ever signed. And they have a shot at the playoffs and to go on a Super Bowl run, the new offense. And you have a new offense with the top quarterback with Eli and Cruz. So it's not only a new offense, but there's good players. The offensive linemen, I think, are good. So I'm excited, and I think back to when Dan Reeves came here. I think it was 1994, 93, and he brought a couple of the wide receivers, Mike Sherrard, one from Denver. But it wasn't, and they still had a good team. Like, they still had a few players, Sims, Lawrence Taylor, maybe Banks was still there. So it kind of, that's the only season I could really compare it to, and they could be contenders. But I think this is even more extreme or dramatic because there are so many new players. So do you guys agree with that?
Well, there was a great deal of turnover over the course of the offseason. So I agree with you, Andrew, from that perspective. And that's why if there's any season to have five preseason games, if there's any season to really go out there and evaluate more closely than in any previous year, it would be this season. You're right. They've got a lot of new faces on defense. They have an entire new offense with new personnel. You can't just walk into week one and think everything's going to click. So that's why they've all been ranting and raving on the fact that they're actually looking forward to having this Hall of Fame game. Most coaches, most teams, they don't want to see anything about an additional preseason game, but this team needs an additional preseason game. Given the injuries that have collected, given all the new personnel, you know, having a few extra reps for everybody could go a long way so that they don't have to wait till mid-season to really hit their stride.
And this year too, right, they definitely need the preseason more than ever, and it's different because a lot of turnover, usually you think, okay, well, the team, they're not that good. They get a new coach, a new maybe GM, and they turn over half the roster, and they're happy if they win, you know, seven games, eight games, and they try to build. But that's not really the Giants. The Giants have an elite coach. They're a top organization. They have so many good players. So it's not really like a rebuilding. You know, they have a turnover year, but they're not rebuilding, whereas they're a bad franchise, and they finished, you know, with three, you know, only won three games.
Well, Andrew, you look, so, look, they're not tearing it down, but I do think this is a multiple-year rebuilding process. I mean, the mm-hmm. Giants, I don't think, are, you know, competing for a Super Bowl this year necessarily. They'll compete for a playoff spot, win the division. I'm not sure that they're Super Bowl contenders. You know, anything can happen, you never know, but I'm not sure they're Super Bowl contenders the same way the Seahawks and the 49ers and the Broncos are, where they're going to win 13, you know, 12, 13, 14 games and, you know, are one of the top five teams in the league that are expected to go to the Super Bowl. You know what I mean?
Exactly, but they could be right on the heels.
Sure.
Like a 10-game, possibly 11 or 9, and also the bye week. We'll know two weeks after the bye because they play the 49ers and the Seahawks back-to-back. So at that point, after that game, then we'll definitely, you know, we'll see which direction the season's going. And I'll just leave with this. A couple days ago, a caller had a good point. He said that Eli, he's not suited for the short and medium. That's not his strength. That the long ball is his strength. And it is like an irony that Eli doesn't always throw the best spiral. And his brother, who's considered one of the greatest ever in history, he doesn't really throw a good spiral. But when Eli throws the long ball, it's like a work of art. It's perfect. But that was a good point that he brought out. But I'm not really worried because I think Eli is much improved. If it was his rookie year, then I would be more worried. He was not as accurate throwing. I remember Shockey, he would do like a quick slant, and Eli would gun the ball behind him. Plaxico Burress, they brought him in. He was making all these spectacular catches out of necessity because the balls were wildly thrown. So if it was back then, I would be nervous. But now I think
D-line is much improved, and he's gonna light it up.
Well, time will tell.
And I'm psyched. Thanks.
All right, Andrew. Look, we'll see. I mean, look, it's easy to say you think this offense will work for him. It's easy to say you think the offense won't work for him. I'm not going to say yes or no until we get there. Here's the thing. This offense can go one of two ways to me, Lance. One, it can go the way some people are predicting, which is, look, Eli has never been the most accurate guy. He's been a guy that makes big plays down the field, but he's never been a guy that, you know, goes out there into the 65, 66, 67 completion percentage guy. It's just never been his strength. He's not pinpoint accurate like some of the other great quarterbacks in the league are, but he's a great playmaker. He makes big plays down the field. He's fearless. He's tough, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Or what you can say, well, maybe Eli's lack of accuracy had to do with the system. Maybe this system will actually help improve on Eli's weaknesses. It'll make him a more accurate quarterback. It'll make him make some better decisions, turn the ball over a little bit less. So that'll help him as a quarterback. So it could go both ways. We just have to see in the end how Eli reacts to the system. We can guess all we want. We're not going to know until we see some, frankly, regular season games in a month.
We need to see a litmus test at this point. Yeah. We need to see what happens during the course of the preseason. But the point that you brought up, John, I think there's a lot of substance behind that, because if all of the players have reflected during the course of the offseason that in Kevin Gilbride's system, it's not that it wasn't successful, but Reuben Randall in particular was always emphasizing the fact there's a lot of adjustments. There's a lot of different things that I need to think through when I run my route. And let's not be naive and say that there's not going to be any adjustments in this offense. That's the one thing that I think is somewhat of a misconception, John. Everybody makes it out to be that Reuben Randall now is just going to run a straight route. He's going to turn around and Eli's going to look for him. There's going to be adjustments in any offense.
Oh, yeah, there is. I mean, depending on the coverage, you know, you could throw a back shoulder throw. You can throw, you know, over, you know, left or right, depending on what the leverage of the coverage is, inside or outside. I mean, look, there are still going to be adjustments. Now, the whole reading the body language thing, that's out. That you're not going to do anymore. But the receiver and the quarterback are still going to have to read coverages the same way and throw passes based on that. It's not like – that's the one thing that does bother me. People say no Gilbride, which means no miscommunications.
Correct.
Do you watch other football games? Do you see other teams and quarterbacks have miscommunications with wide receivers? Guess what? Happens all the time. The Eagles ran the West Coast offense. Michael Vick was a freaking turnover machine.
And sometimes it wasn't even interceptions. It was just holding on to the football.
Yeah, and look, there are going to be miscommunications. It's not going to be perfect, but that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. This offense, though, generally speaking, is probably a lower-risk offense than what the Giants had before. But at the same time, it's going to be a lower-reward offense. You're not going to have as many huge plays the way the Giants had going to the Super Bowl in 2011.
Well, and speaking of that, that's actually why I'm probably looking forward to the most seeing how Victor Cruz is utilized in his limited reps on Sunday, because if you think of any deep threat on this team, it's Victor Cruz. So I want to see how they're running him. Are they going to keep him with more shorter routes, or are they going to take some chances where they look to extend the field?
Yeah, Randall has that size to get down the field and body people and make some plays in coverage, but in terms of the big playability on this team right now, with Odell Beckham on the shelf, it's Cruz. I mean, Jernigan's much more quick than he is fast, so if there's a guy that's going to beat you deep down the field, it probably is going to be Victor.
So seeing how they utilize him will be at least a good tell to determine, okay, they're going to try to give him the green light X amount of times versus be a little bit more conservative.
The one thing I have been a little surprised at camp is when they've gone to the three wide receiver sets, almost uniformly, and this has been very consistent, it's been Jernigan outside and Cruz inside. We haven't seen Cruz outside with Jernigan in the slot a whole lot in practice. It's usually almost always Jernigan outside, Cruz inside, then Randall on the other side.
Well, they both have experience in the slot, Cruz and Jernigan, so I guess we'll see how the regular season and the preseason reps balance out. But I think both of them can survive in either spot.
Well, we'll see. Well, we haven't seen Jernigan do much outside. We've seen Cruz do both. We know
Correct.
He can do both very well. Jernigan, I'm not so sure. We'll have to find out. 201-939-4513. Rocky's down in Panama City. What's going on, Rock?
What's up, John?
What's going on?
Trying to get ready for the birthday party. I like planning a wedding.
Yeah.
An extravaganza on tap this weekend.
Yeah, I'm calling it a Big Blue birthday bash. But that whole stuff about Eli not fitting in the West Coast, and that's crap. I mean, the guy's got two Super Bowl rings. I mean, he can throw a short pass. And half of those inaccurate passes on those long balls was because he had pressure in his face from throwing off his back foot. When
that
he's got
true.
time to But, yeah, when he's got time to just do a three-step drop, nobody in his face and plant and get that ball out, he's going to, you know.
Well, Rocky, and that's the thing. I mean, a lot of his, you know, interceptions, some were, like people have said, miscommunications. Others were simply bad decisions, bad mechanics, and bad throws. I mean, we saw on game tape last year when we did our plays that changed the game every Monday with Sean O'Hara that a lot of the times Eli would just throw off his back foot, whether the pressure was there or not. And I think one thing, Rocky, that's good about this system, and Danny Langsdorf and Eli talked about it the other day, is that it's a very big focus on footwork. And your feet dictate what you do. Your feet dictate when you release the ball. Everything's in a rhythm. It's timing. And I think a focus on that can only help Eli keep his mechanics straight and hopefully lead to fewer mistakes.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, yeah, that's about all I got for today.
All right, thanks, Rock.
All right, Rocky.
Have fun at the birthday party, my friend. Mayor to a wedding, though, might be a little strong.
Well, it depends on how convoluted the birthday is. I mean, keep
that
in mind. You know, he may get a DJ. He may do the whole thing.
That would have to be a pretty damn convoluted
Well, if it's a notable birthday, it could be a number that is a milestone. I don't know.
I'm
not going to speculate on
this. Let me go this way. I love my wife to death, and she's great. She's not high maintenance. You know her very well, Lance. She is not a high maintenance person.
That's a fair classification.
But dealing with a woman getting ready for her wedding and comparing that to your own birthday party, Rocky, I love you to death. Those paths go in very divergent directions. Let me just put it that way.
And I saw the stress firsthand. So I can I can back that statement, though, to a certain degree.
201-939-4513. Let's go to we're going to go to Kiwan next. He's in Paterson, New Jersey. Kiwan, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, Lance, man? How's everything?
Everything's good, Kiwan. How are you?
I'm good, man. I just wanted to talk about David Wilson, man. I know it's a reiterating thing, man, but I would really like to see him out there. And it looked like we'll see him out there, but I just want that neck thing to be, sometimes it's tough, like they said in the paper the other day, Peyton Manning had it, but I think theirs is totally different. I honestly think David Wilson's is more worse.
Well, I mean, Kiwan, that's the thing. I mean, yeah, he had the spinal fusion surgery, but he also has spinal stenosis, which is what's called that narrowing of the spinal column. That forced Michael Irvin to retire. It forced Antonio Pierce to retire. It forced Darryl Moose Johnston to retire. And there's a laundry list of other guys that has forced him into retirement. So I think you're right. You know, you can say the injury is the same from guy to guy, but I think there's a severity of it. So it really is on an individual basis.
And the other thing is Peyton Manning doesn't take nearly as many hits as a running back.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, that's the other thing.
That's true. And, he doesn't take as many hits, and he's, you know, and I just hope he's good, man, because I felt like, you know, I think Jennings is going to be the number one, but I also feel like they can bring Wilson in on some packages when they do the screens and when he do, you know, a couple other things that they'll do. I just hope he'd be good. Another thing I want to talk about is Michael Strahan. I really want to congratulate him on, you know, the Hall of Fame, which I knew was coming anytime soon, and, you know, that's about it.
All right, well, Kiwan, first of all, on the David Wilson thing, if you've listened to the show, I mean, you know what a big fan of his I am. I think he can be a dynamic, difference-making type of player on offense. And quite frankly now, with Akeem Nicks no longer here, Odell Beckham Jr. being unable to get onto the field even in practice, let alone a game, this offense needs as many playmakers as they can get. And it can't it can't just be Victor Cruz. One guy is not going to do it. And, you know, Reuben Randle, I think, in the end, what he'll end up becoming is a good, solid possession receiver. I don't think he's going to be a big play guy. I don't see that explosive ability out of him. I think he'd be a solid number two, but I don't see him being a Pro Bowl, you know, 90-catch, 1,300-yard type of receiver. They need a guy like David Wilson to be able to make that big play, turn a 4-yard gain into a 60-yard run. So, yeah, I agree. I think they need him back. But at this point, quite honestly, to count on him at this season in any way, shape, or form, I think would be folly. You hope he can get back. You hope they clear him. And if he does, great. But you can't count on that.
Right. Of course. I agree with you, too, with Reuben Randle. I feel like he's not like a 90-catch guy. But he still can put up numbers. But he's not like the elite, you know, playmaking guy. Like, you know, can turn a 60-yard catch into a touchdown, 20-yard catch into a touchdown. You know, so
a game changer. So, that's what it really comes down to.
Yeah, to key one, to me, Reuben Randle, if he reaches his full potential, he could be an Imani Toomer type of wide receiver.
Of course, of course, of course. And that's still perfect.
Sure.
You mentioned his name. It brings back memories, man, the 07 and even beyond that. But we'll see, man. I can't wait for the game on Sunday night. I'll definitely be tuned in. Are the Stars going to play, or are you guys not sure?
Well, I mean, you mean guys like Eli Manning? Yeah, Eli Manning will be out there for a couple series. You'll see Victor Cruz out there for a couple series. You'll see Rashad Jennings out there for a couple series. Anybody who usually plays and is healthy will play in this game. I'm not sure the starters are going to play much more than a quarter, Kiwan, but they'll be out there.
Kiwan, here's the best advice. By the time the second quarter starts, just make sure you have your depth chart out so that you can recognize some of the names. That would be my only advice. First quarter, you'll be able to survive. You won't need to know anything about this team. Second quarter, third quarter, you got to put the glasses on and start studying a little bit.
Yeah, I will,
man. All right.
Hey, man, y'all have a great day, man.
Nice, you got Kiwan. It. I appreciate the call.
The other thing that I wanted to clarify, I'd appreciate the phone call,
here
Kiwan.
Here comes Jordan Stanton.
I didn't recognize him too
here
much.
Here comes Justin Anderson.
I didn't even know that guy was on the team. We need to clarify, you know, when John says he's a fan of a guy on a team, we want to at least give some backstory to this.
What
the only
mean?
Reason why that John is very fond of David Wilson is David Wilson is one of the rare players who actually recognized John when he went to Modell's once and tried to buy a pair of sneakers.
About that story.
See, we remember everything on this program.
I was buying a basketball.
Excuse
first of
me.
All.
Okay, that's I got fine. The facts wrong. My apologies. But that's why David Wilson has a very special place in John's heart.
Well,
we just needed to make sure
it
that
might
the
also
audience
to do with
understood
the fact that he goes from like 0 to 50 in about 1.5 seconds.
Well, that is the most obvious
he's a
fact.
Freak athlete.
But there's another part of this.
That
if
to
Reuben
do
Randall
you
walked
know,
up to you in Modell's,
no, hold on.
You wouldn't be talking about him and Amani
you
Toomer
know,
in the same sentence.
You know as well as I do, and be honest about this, way before we had the Modell's incident, I was a huge proponent of David Wilson being a difference maker in this offense.
I just didn't see the pedestal rises high.
Get
that's all I'm
going
to say. I'm not saying you weren't a fan, but the pedestal skyrocketed. The ceiling had to be raised as a result of that Modell's situation.
Playing Frisbee in the back of Modell's.
There you
his
go.
Girlfriend.
And coincidentally, somebody bumped into
it
John Schmelk.
It was so random. The best part, I didn't even notice him. I just went to the back of the store and I looked over. I'm like, that's odd. Two people are throwing a Frisbee around. All right. And first of all, it wasn't a Modell's. It was a Sports Authority.
My apologies once again.
Well, Sports Authority. Well, not anymore, but they were at one point a proud sponsor of the New York Giants.
Well, I thought Modell's had ties, too.
No, Modell's.
No? Okay, I was mistaken.
Well, at least not on the radio. I don't think Modell's has any sponsorship deals with us. In fact, I'm pretty sure they don't. I don't actually think we have a sporting goods sponsor right now.
No, we have some beverages are in the mix. There's
cars.
Plenty of that.
A lot
cars,
of cars.
Yes. You know, we try to spread the wealth.
We have cloud computing with EMC.
That's where we can't forget that. Oh, boy, I'm going to look forward to reading all that stuff.
Oh, those are getting all put together today, Lance.
Got to study up.
It's going to be a late day for Schmelke getting those commercials ready for
boy.
Lance to
Here
read.
We go.
How you doing?
Start that up. But, see, you mentioned that you didn't notice David Wilson. Right. The most important part of the story is David Wilson noticed you. Okay?
He did. That's,
that's
right.
The best part of the
201-939-4513. Christian is in Woodbridge, New Jersey. Christian, you're on Big Blue Kickoff Live. How's it going, buddy?
How's it going, guys?
What's up, man?
I was wondering, how realistic is it to say that Devon Kennard will be out there week one, even if John Beeson is there?
If John Beeson's starting, Christian, sorry for interrupting, I do not believe Devon Kennard will be one of the starters. I think he'll be one of the first guys off the bench. I think your starters will be Beeson, McClain, and Jaquan Williams.
Okay, thank you very much, guys.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
Well, Christian, let me explain why. The reason I think that's the case is that you want to have one linebacker out there with your starters that's a good coverage guy. Beeson's much better against the run. McClain's a much better pass rusher, better against the run in the line of scrimmage. And Jaquan's a good coverage guy. Now, I love Devon Kennard, but he is much more in that McClain-Beeson mold. He's really good against the run. He's big. He's strong. He's not the quickest side-to-side guy. So you want to have Jaquan out there in front of him because he's going to help you out covering tight ends and running backs out of the backfield.
Okay. And one more question.
Yeah.
How much playing time do you think Marcus Kuhn will get?
Well, Marcus Kuhn has been in the second unit
with
Jonathan Hankins at this point. You have Patterson, who's been labeled as a starter with Jenkins. They're going to probably play all four of them. The starters clearly are not going to play that much. So I think Kuhn's going to get a lot of time, not necessarily maybe against Buffalo, but over the course of the preseason, you're going to see an awful lot of Marcus Kuhn.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Christian.
You got it,
and
Christian.
By the way, it's funny. I know you watch all the media avails, either live or you watch them on the computer. isn't it strange how when any one of the players is asked about Marcus Kuhn, how they all just get like this huge smile on their face? He just seems to be loved in that locker room. It's very strange. It's everyone loves the big German guy.
He's a big guy, so if you don't love him, you're in trouble.
Like Jonathan Hankins' ass. I mean, him and Hankins is like the perfect like sitcom duo. Could you see like a Hankins Kuhn sitcom
and sitting on the couch?
It's gold.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they don't necessarily have the most bubbly personalities, but
Kuhn's kind of
well.
A Kuhn funny
is.
Guy,
I mean, he doesn't necessarily always come off of that.
And Hankins is kind of like that gentle giant.
Correct.
Type of thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, sensitive guy, but also can talk to the media and.
Well, on the field, he's very fierce, but when you talk to him in person, he's just a very soft-spoken,
guys, yeah.
Nice
but
guy.
But there are some people when they talk to the media, they're a little intimidating, or right. They don't necessorily want to engage.
Hankins
with
has
reporters.
That big smile.
Correct.
On his face.
Hankins
so
is very engaged.
Jenkins,
too.
So does
yeah.
Patterson.
A lot
guys
of guys on
do.
This
yeah.
team. I would agree. I think that they brought in a number of good guys both on and off the field, which is something the Giants have a track record of doing, but this group stands out.
I love the D-tackles on this team. I think it's a very good group. Not just off the field, but on the field. I think they're going to be a very, very productive group against the run and the pass. I think they're very, very good.
And that's why, John, to be honest with you, I really don't think it matters who starts.
No,
because
I think so
they're going to utilize this group enough that who cares if these first two start and these two come in after.
They're all splitting snaps anyway. What's the difference?
Makes no difference. Exactly. And keep this in mind. With Kiwanuka likely starting opposite JPP.
And that Ayers thing makes the Ayers injury, though we don't know the severity of it, does make that more likely.
There's going to be a little bit more pressure on the defensive tackles to stop the run because Tuck was very good at stopping the run, John, and that doesn't get really brought to the forefront in the discussion. I'm not saying Kiwanuka's not good against the run, but he's not nearly as effective, I would say, as a guy like Tuck.
You know, I'll say this too. You know, you might doubt the Giants' star power on the defensive line. You know, they don't have that guy that's going to maybe get like the 16, 18 sacks, depending on what JPP does, obviously. But think of it this way, Lance. As you go, let's say JPP has a 8-9 sack year, right? 7-8 sack year, something like that. Which, you know, not out of the question based on what he's done the last few seasons. When you go from the first unit, Kiwi, JPP, let's assume it's going to be Patterson and Jenkins because that's who's out there now. Compare that four-man unit to Ayers, DeMontre Moore, Kuhn, and Hankins. Is it really that much of a difference between units one and two? I mean, seriously.
No, that's a good point.
That's,
you could make the argument that second unit could start for another team.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody would lose sleep over
that.
Well,
depending on how DeMontre Moore plays.
Correct,
but,
because
yeah.
of his ups and downs. But
no question.
Kuhn, I think, has showed us enough when healthy that he can be a reliable defensive tackle.
I agree.
Hankins, when he got his opportunity last season, was very effective. Robert Ayers was good in the Denver system when they put him in the right
and
spot.
And a first-round pick.
Correct. So Moore is really the only question mark out of that foursome.
I mean, to me, it's not really that much of a downgrade, which is great for Perry Fuel. Do you know what that means? You're always going to have a fresh defensive line out there. And what you like is that fresh defensive lineman going against tired offensive linemen in the fourth quarter of these games, you start putting pressure on the quarterback a little bit.
And, John, we can say the same thing about the secondary. Maybe not necessarily the safeties, but the corners.
You generally don't rotate those guys as much as you do.
But I guess the point I'm making is if somebody goes down with an injury and you need to bring in a fresh body in the fourth quarter, yes, nobody's Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie a duplication, but you know what? You bring in Charles James or Tremaine McBride, you could do a lot worse.
I think the defense is extremely deep. No question about it. And let's say Stevie Brown goes down. Are you really that much of a downgrade going to Quentin Demps? He's started in this league plenty of times.
And that's what they wanted to do. You boost the depth chart by bringing in guys that not haven't just been in the NFL, John, but actually have started games. That's what counts.
We're going to go back to the phone and say what's up to Matthew in Ocean, New Jersey. Matthew, what's going on?
Do you think Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie will be a number one corner on the Giants?
He'll be the number one corner. I think he could be a pro bowler. I think he could be an all-pro. I think he could be probably the best corner the Giants have had here since Jason Seahorn was in his prime. Let me put it that way.
Yeah. That's it.
All right. Appreciate the
phone call. I think Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie is a beast. Look, you know me. I like the soft sell guys, to be quite mentioned. And this is actually a tweet. Thank you, Joe. Back on July 30th, Charles James II, which I think we should start referring to the guys with their proper names. You got Charles James II. Walter Thurman III,
Junior.
Robert Ayers Jr.
Correct.
A lot of guys with suffixes on their names
yes.
now this year. Anyway, Charles James II back on July 30th, which I guess was just 2 days ago. The fact that DRC is not mentioned as the top cornerback, if not number one, lets me know it's just a popularity contest. I think it's a fair tweet. And look, DRC's had his inconsistency issues as a younger corner, but from what I've seen in camp, if that dude's locked in, he can cover, man. Whew.
Well, and you would think you also have to look back at how he was utilized in that Eagles system when they played more of a zone. Those few years, DRC wasn't up there in the rankings, not because of the player he was, but what he was asked to do within right. that system. So that I think that hurt how people looked at him across the league.
I think no doubt about it. I think the question you get to sometimes, at least with this team this year, DRC is great. There's one weakness to me. He can be susceptible to double moves from time to time. He'll be a little too aggressive. So it makes it even more important for the Giants' pass rush to get to the quarterback to not give opposing teams time to do those double moves. 201-939-4513. Len is in Columbia, Maryland. Good morning, Leonard.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Are the birds out again this morning?
Well, it's a little cloudy down here, and actually had to turn the air conditioning on. So I guess I could pipe in those bird sounds.
Now, Len, here's the question. Are you going to make it up to camp at some point this summer?
You know, I don't think I'm going to be able to make it. My wife's been a little under the weather.
Oh,
I'm
Everything's sorry,
fine.
Len.
Everything's
okay,
fine. Nothing. Actually coming off some foot surgery.
Oh.
But
okay.
Doing well. Coach Coughlin would have been proud of her. She did it early and is ready for the is going
to
be ready for the regular season.
That's good to hear.
So Len, let me guess. You misbehaved, and the wife had to kick you, and she hurt her foot. Is that accurate?
There you go. That's a great story. Very good, very good. Hey, listen, you guys had a great offseason. Thanks for all your work.
Thank you.
It's been a terrific show. God, it's
Appreciate
been a
that.
Long offseason.
Yeah, it has been. That's true.
Oh,
that,
boy.
That's an episode you don't play in the January, Jen. Offseason gets very long.
Yeah, I'm telling you, January – You know, January seemed like it was 47 days long. It was unbelievable. Unbelievable. I don't want to go through that again. Time to make the playoffs again, guys. And look, I think we got the players to make a run. Look, kudos to the front office. I think they, you know, just a terrific offseason. I mean, I don't know what to say. They did the best they could to put some players on the field. Now it's up to these coaches and the players to just get out there and perform. You know, we need five or six guys to play at a level where, you know, they're in the Pro Bowl voting. You need to, you know, your stars have to play well. And from one fan to the players, I'm challenging them. Come on, guys. This is it. I think we've got the players to make a legitimate run at the playoffs. And, you know, like you said earlier, if you can get into the playoffs, anything can happen.
Yep.
Jeez, we saw that in 07.
Well, that's the thing, man. No question.
That's for sure. And, 21 out of the next 22 weeks, and hopefully a few weeks after that, there'll be Giants football on. Certainly going to watch on Sunday night, but it's a two TV night, John. Yankees, Red Sox on opposite Giants, Bills. Something about Yankees, Red Sox.
You have to watch Yankees, Red Sox, and a very rare Yankees, Red Sox trade. Both teams trading their underachieving veteran infielders for each other. Kelly Johnson for Steven Drew.
Little history: first trade since Mike Stanley was shipped out of town.
I remember that.
Wow,
trade. That was a very unpopular trade.
See, we don't just provide the Giants intel on the show, Len.
Mike Stanley, one of Buck Showalter's favorites, not so much Joe Torre.
What? Yeah, that's true. And Drew will probably be the 60th different player to put on a Yankee uniform. I mean, God,
oh
it's like,
goodness.
I mean, all they do is shake hands in the dugout. New guys come in every game. It's really unbelievable. Hey, listen, let's go Giants. Thanks for the offer. You did a terrific job. And I know I've said this more than once, but I'm 4-2 in the division, 10-6. And a couple of days before Christmas, we won a football game in St. Louis. That gives us 10 wins. We don't even need that Eagles game the next week. Eagles maybe win the division, but I'll take 10-6. Here's my prediction, guys. We're going to clinch it in St. Louis a couple of days before Christmas.
I think that.
Hey, I'll be listening all season and probably calling in.
And Len, listen, and tell the wife that we give her kudos for having to put up with you all this time. So
I hope now with her foot being hurt, you're like bringing her breakfast in bed, and you're doing a very good butler impersonation in the house. Is that true?
I'm getting a lot of pats on the back the way I handle this.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm telling you. But I'm glad she's back in the kitchen, guys.
Thank you, Len.
Or else you'd be hunting some birds to eat during the course of the day.
Yeah. Hey, the one thing she did, let me tell you one other time, and some of the folks who are listening to some of the tweeters out there will say, you know, she says to me sometimes, you're not going to call again this morning, are you? And I said, I'll tell you, I'll try.
Thank you, Len.
Okay, all right, Len. Have a good one.
Let's go Giants. Let's go Giants.
My goal is to get Len on Twitter by the end of the year.
Yeah, that would be nice. I'd be curious to see what handle he chooses, too. He could go in a variety of different directions.
That's a good point. It's a very good question.
Could have some bird references, Baltimore references. Though, I don't know, he doesn't want to get into Shake's territory. We don't want to, you know, build a rivalry here.
201-939-4513. At the end of the show, I want to ask you about the two Yankee trades, but I don't want to get into it now. We got a lot of calls on the line. Let's go
to...
We
talk a little Knicks, too.
Ed out in Long Island. Ed, you're up next. What's going on, pal? Ed.
Ed's a man of very few words.
Looks like we lost Ed there. Ed, give us a call back. We'll put you right back up, man. Don't worry about it. Jeff's up in Rhode Island. Jeff, you're up next. What's going on?
Hey, fellas. How you doing today?
What's up, Ed?
Doing well, Jeff.
Good. Yeah, the Yankees are all set now. We traded one stiff for another stiff. So, wee-hee! And I'll put us right over the top now.
Well, you know what? In fairness, Martin Prado is a good player. I'm not sure I would have given up a minor leaguer that has 30 home runs in 100 games, but yeah. I got a lot of heat on Twitter for that yesterday, by the way. Fans were going after me like crazy. Nevertheless, the Yankees are better today than they were yesterday, and I guess that's not a bad thing, though. I'm still not sure they're playoff caliber.
Nah, they're not. They're not. They're a pretty awful team this year, I think.
They can't hit at all. Watching the games are torture sometimes. I got to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's... I get to see a few on the MLB network and whatnot, but the Red Sox, I mean, go from first to worst, so that's not a bad thing. Are you guys going to the game Sunday night? Are you going to go?
Lance will be in the studio in New York. I will be out in Canton.
Oh, yeah. Have you been to the Hall of Fame before?
I have been to the Hall of Fame. I've never been to the stadium to see a Hall of Fame game or a Hall of Fame induction ceremony, so I am looking forward to that.
Yeah, that'll be a nice thing. I've been to the Hall of Fame. I thought it was a little bit smaller than I expected it to be, you know.
Well, you know, it is smaller when you compare it to Cooperstown, but honestly, I think it's big enough to show off the history of the league.
Yeah, oh, it is. It is. Yeah, I especially enjoyed the Giants exhibit with Y.A. Tittle's cracked helmet there and the other memorabilia that they have. On a serious note, even though their last names are spelled differently, I think, you know, we may have a new It's About Time guy on our hands here, and that's in regards to him getting on the field. And, you know, it's because he hasn't done
it. I sense
a
Ramsey's
thing,
Pardon reference Jeff.
No. You know where he's going. IAT.
The last names are spelled differently, but, you know, the number one draft pick hasn't done anything yet, so I'm kind of pretty concerned about that, where that's going to go.
Look, I think it's fair to be concerned, Jeff, but I don't think it's time to panic yet.
Well, no, we still have, over a month to go till the season starts, but, you know, these hamstring things can sometimes linger on. I hope that's not the case because, let's face it, we get some expectations for this kid, you know?
Well, Jeff, this is what you have to ask yourself. Would you rather see him in a meaningless preseason game and then he re-aggravates it and then you lose him for half the season, or he misses half of the preseason, let's say, and then he's going to be able to be out there for a good 15, 16 games?
Oh, sure. I mean, I'd rather see him be 100%, you know, when it really counts. But it's just that seems like he's not getting many reps. You know, he hasn't gotten any reps, I guess, you know, so that's a little bit...
Well, he's out there fielding punts. And he is working with the machines to catch passes. So it's not as if he's just standing on the side drinking pina coladas and holding hands and singing kumbaya. But, you know, I understand the frustration. And Tom Coughlin has showcased his frustration to the media. He wants his first-round pick out there. And everybody should want to see him out there. But, you know, I say to myself, you're preparing for the marathon here. You're not preparing for, you know, a little street race or a burst here or there during the preseason.
Okay, well, you guys enjoy the game, and I'll be looking forward to, you know, hearing what you have, your observations were next week, and we'll see how everything goes.
Thank you, Jeff.
Okay, bud, have a good day.
Sounds good, Jeff. Appreciate
preparing
it.
Preparing for a street race.
It came to mind. Well, a street race is not a big-time marathon.
Furious?
A street race is a shorter race compared to a marathon. Is that not somewhat offbeat?
What's a street race?
Well, you could run in a street race. You don't necessarily have to drive a car.
The New York Marathon's a street race. They run in the street.
So, all right, it's my jargon that I'm throwing out there, right? Forgive me for tweaking some words.
Now, you haven't been to the Hall of Fame.
No,
right?
I have not been to the Hall of Fame.
Have you been to the Baseball Hall
of
Fame?
Well, since Jeff did say it's too small, it's not big enough to cater to my
still
desires.
Fit you.
So, well, yes, physically, but not, you know, from an ego perspective, it can't fit everything. You should know that.
Well, that is
yes,
true.
I've been to Cooperstown.
I can't believe you can even fit in here. on a daily basis.
There you go.
So you have been to Cooperstown.
I have been to Cooperstown.
When's the last time you were in Cooperstown?
Oh, it's been a few years.
Yeah. Like as a kid or as
an
adult?
Yeah, as a kid. I haven't been there as an adult.
Yeah, I probably junior high maybe, freshman year high school.
So it's been a while for you too.
Oh, yeah. For Cooperstown, yeah. It's weird. I've been out to the Football Hall of Fame, though, I think like 3 times in the last 6 or 7 years. It's just been random.
Well,
I went out there with the rookies a couple years ago when I visit our buddy Aaron out in Cleveland. We've made a trip to Canton. So I've happened to been to Canton a couple times over the last few years. But I do want to go back to Cooperstown. I love Cooperstown.
Yeah, I'd like to see some of the changes that they've made, and obviously a handful of more players have been inducted.
We should
since,
do a trip. Maybe we could do a show live from Cooperstown.
Hey, that sounds good to me. If we can get the technology to function and work, that would be a step in the right direction. I could live with that.
You might have to forego your salary for the show in order to make it happen.
Well, you know, I don't know if I'm willing to negotiate that far, but we'll consider it.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Shakes in Baltimore, Maryland. Shakes, you're up next, pal. What's going on?
What's going on, John? What's going on, man?
I'm doing all right,
Shakes. How are you?
How's everything with you?
I'm good, man.
Haven't heard from you in a while.
And Shakes, I have a question for you. Why are you Shakes Montana? Where does the Montana come from on Twitter?
I'm Tony's grandson.
Oh, I see. The Scarface reference. I got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Now I got you.
He had an affair with a black girl, and that was my grandma.
Boy, you got a whole story to this, too. I mean, John asked a simple question. You gave us a dissertation.
A novel by Shakes.
Yeah, crazy. I wanted to say something, and then I wanted to ask y'all a question. I wanted to say, first of all, shout out to Mike Fulham. Because yesterday on my Twitter, man, he really tried to convince me and sell me on Coon. And he's not the only one. A lot of people trying to sell me on Coon. And here's the thing, man. Y'all trying to sell me on flashes. That's what everybody's trying to sell me on, flashes. Look, fellas, everybody that's listening right now, I want to see something from Coon. If I see something from Coon this Sunday, then I'll be impressed. Then I'll come on the Shakedown, wherever I come on, and talk my mess, and I will say, you know what?
Get the plug in.
Thanks.
Yeah, promote that program before you promote our program. At least you got your priorities straight.
I'm sorry. But, you know, I'm just going to be like, you know, did you see Coon? Did you see what he did? You know, I'm going to give him his praise. I'm not going to be a hater. You know what I mean?
Well, Shakes, in fairness, even as a rookie, when Coon did have a chance to play, he did show a little bit in those games at the end of the 2012 season. But, yeah, you're right. Look, what he does in practice means nothing. We sat here all year last year talking about Ruben Randle this, Ruben Randle that, and it didn't really amount to a whole lot. So, yeah, you're right. Let's see it in the game.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. I wanted to ask you a question, though, you know, about that Coon thing. Like, since I am going to be watching, how much time do you think he will have on the field? Since he's with the second team and all.
I'd say the second team would probably play around the quarter and a half.
So I'll get to see a lot of him.
Yeah, sure.
You'll be able to make a pie chart and everything in terms of his playing time, how many tackles he had. Well, because, you know, Shakes wants to see something, and Marcus Coon. So he's not just going to come on the program next week and tell me, oh, I saw a flash. He's going to tell me in 3 minutes of play, I saw him hit three people. He knocked over another one.
Shakes, you have a homework assignment
there
from Lance Metal now. You better be ready next week.
Now, in fairness, Shakes, you know who I'm excited to see? I want to see your boy Kelsey Quarles. That's who I'm excited to see. So we can go mano a mano. You can give me something on Coon, and I'll give you something on Quarles.
I'll tell you what, it was in practice the other day. I'm not sure which fullback did it. I more heard about it than saw the play, Shakes. Apparently, one of the fullbacks put Kelsey Quarles right on his rear end on a play.
Ooh.
I think the prosecution is rested here.
No, I'm not saying that. Look, I've liked what I've seen out of Quarles. I think he's a really strong practice squad candidate. I'm not down on Quarles. I'm just telling you something I saw at practice.
Well, Shakes is a big
good.
Fan
no,
of his.
Not,
that's
no,
why.
I ain't taking no bad Quarles with it, you know. No pun intended. But,
now, you know,
yeah,
Shakes, I don't remember Aaron Curry being knocked over by a fullback. Keep that in mind.
Yeah, he just ain't know what the hell he was doing out there.
Yeah, that's true.
He wasn't even in a play to get knocked down.
Yeah, exactly.
You got me there. No argument.
Shakes, you got anything else for us?
Oh, man.
I did have something for y'all, but that was it, I guess, right
all
now.
Right. Call us on Monday, my friend.
Again, no doubt. I'm going to call again.
All right, dude.
Sorry for taking my little hiatus, but I was a little mad at y'all a little bit.
Why were you mad at me and Lance?
Cool. I don't know if I should get into this, but I just felt like, you know, y'all kind of brushed me off with the whole shakedown thing. That's all.
About?
I just felt like, you know, when I bring it up, it's like, you know what I mean? And I don't know, maybe I'm just looking too deep in things, but I just felt like, you know,
Shakes, hold on, wait. You call up. We always let you plug this show. We don't
Absolutely.
Tell you to stop. Come on now.
I know y'all don't ever tell me to stop, but it's like, you know, to me, it seems like a thing where it's like, okay, we let you do it, but we don't really want you to do that. You know, and
no,
I understand
not at
it's
all.
Y'all show and everything. You know what I mean? I know that y'all got your own sponsors and everything. So, you know, I understand it that y'all can't really show us some most love that I expected. You know, y'all didn't even check a show out, did y'all?
Well, we've been tied up with a lot here at the Giants facility, in fairness. And I know that may not be the most valid excuse, but perhaps as the season goes along, you know, a little bit more flexibility opens up.
You make a fair point. There was no reason why during the offseason I couldn't take a few minutes to check out a show. Here's what I want you to do. On Twitter, I want you to send me a link to what you think is your best podcast. I will check it out.
All right. I got you.
Fair?
No, that's fair.
All right.
Thanks
for the call, bud. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, y'all.
Take it easy.
All right, thanks, man.
No problem. See, now we're getting to some like a heavy emotional issues.
Well, the shakedown tweets have overtaken hashtag Giants chat more so than Big Blue Kickoff Live. If you look at the whole scroll, yeah,
that's okay.
Absolutely,
we love having.
We got no problem
shows.
With that. Everybody's tied into the programs. That's fine.
201-939-4513. It looks like we lost Jack in Tinton Falls. Jack, if you want to call us back, we'll put you right back up. Let's go to Steve in D.C. Steve, you're next.
Hey, what's happening, guys?
Hey, Steve.
How y'all doing?
Doing all right,
thanks
Steve.
Thanks for taking my call. First of all, I pretty much forgot why I called, but I wanted to say one little thing.
That's
to
a great start to the phone call.
All right,
call.
Steve, then be quick.
I know, right? Well, listen, first I want to say that I can't really think of a defensive back in the league who is not susceptible to a double move. You know, I mean, everybody's susceptible to a double move. Would you not agree with that? I mean,
well, I think, Steve, some corners are probably more aggressive than others trying to jump routes and get interceptions. Other corners, you know, maybe play it a little bit safer. So I think there are corners that are more susceptible to double moves than others. For example, D'Angelo Hall is a corner that's extremely susceptible to double moves because he's always trying to make plays on the ball. So if you do a little pump fake, he jumps. All of a sudden, he's in a little bit of trouble.
Yeah, that's because he's getting up there in age. He lacks the athleticism that
that's
he used
true
to
too.
Have, in my opinion.
That's true.
You know?
Well, and the good thing, Steve, about DRC is that he does have the flat-out, straight-ahead speed to make up some of that ground, even if he does get caught on some of those double moves.
Exactly. One thing that's bothered me today is I've been listening to, you know, Beckham Jr.'s press conferences, and I guess I'm the only one who really noticed. I mean, I play on, I kind of look between people's words, and I noticed that he was basically saying, yeah, well, you know, he's saying, oh, you know, I have a sprinter background, and, you know, this is not the first time, and it probably won't be the last time, this and the other. I ain't trying to hear all that. I don't know. I'm thinking to myself, man, can you quit with all that? It's probably going to happen again in the future. To me, that just kind of sounds a little bit alarming to me. Did you guys not hear that interview where he was saying that, you know,
I heard
it's
it.
Probably going to happen again and all this other stuff? I mean,
well,
I
Steve,
I
heard it
but.
Too. I mean, he does have a history of hamstring issues.
Though, in fairness, coming out of college, we were all over that draft. I read every scouting report known to mankind on Odell Beckham Jr. I probably read a dozen of them, especially once he became a likely pick for the Giants. We talked about it about a week before the draft. I talked to multiple reporters down at LSU. I talked to all sorts of scouts. Not one person said anything to me about chronic hamstring problems. Not one.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. Did we not know about it? And do you think had we known about it, maybe you think it's possible we would have went a different route for our first pick?
Well, Steve, here's the thing. He didn't miss any games at LSU because of the hamstring. The kid played in every single game. He didn't miss any games. So I don't think the hamstring issues at LSU were that big of a deal. He played every week.
So it was easy to cover it up, or they didn't necessarily think it was such a big deal.
Right.
Well, let's just hope it's not one of those things that lingers on. I heard he did practice yesterday a little bit. Can y'all talk? I'm sorry, I caught on the show late. Maybe you
no, he didn't
about
practice,
earlier.
Steve. He was off to the side. Basically, since he's hurt his hamstring, he catches some kickoffs, catches some punts, catches some balls out of the jugs machine. He plays catcher with Ruben Randle from time to time, but there's no running or anything like that.
Wow. And what about Mario Manningham? He played yesterday. He practiced yesterday, didn't he?
Yeah, he's been practicing every day. He's limited. He doesn't look like the same guy to me yet. He's still lacking a little bit of explosiveness, but he's been out there.
And he made a nice catch yesterday in practice, too.
Nice one-handed catch on the sideline. That was our play of the day last night.
Okay. Well, the last thing I wanted to go, I know it's all going to come down to these preseason games, but do you think that there's any hint as what we may do with our running backs as far as who's it looks like? Like we're going to end up, how many running backs? First of all, I thought I heard we said we're going to actually keep one fullback. I thought I read a coach said that. I'm not sure which coach, but I heard a coach said we definitely were going to be keeping one fullback. And I just wanted to get you guys to take, I'll listen off air, if you could just talk about how you kind of see this running back play out. I know you can't predict who's going to do what right in the preseason games, but if you can just tell me, how many running backs you think we may keep and who that might be, I'll listen off air, guys.
Great, so thanks, Steve. Appreciate the call, man.
Thank you. Thanks for taking my call. Have
all
a
right,
good
Steve,
week.
Here's how I look at it. I did not hear the coach say that they're definitely keeping a fullback. Maybe Craig Johnson said that in his media avail earlier in the week.
I don't remember.
Lance and
I'll
look
that
into
yeah
it. I didn't see it. But I still think it's 80%, 90% they keep a fullback. I'm going to assume David Wilson's not going to be available. I think you're looking at Rashad Jennings getting 15 carries a game. You'll see, Peyton Hillis get a couple. He'll be a pass protection guy. And I think you'll have a decent chance of seeing a guy like, Andre Williams now get some more carries. People talk about Michael Cox making the team, but I think the guy that's going to get more carries if David Wilson isn't going to be able to play is probably Andre Williams.
Well, but if you look at whether or not they're going to keep four running backs, which is the amount they kept last year. Last year was four running backs, one fullback. That was the breakdown. You could say that Michael Cox has a very good chance of being that fourth guy.
No, I could now see them just keeping three running backs and one fullback and putting Gaskins on the practice squad. I would not be shocked by that.
Because you feel they need depth at another position?
I'm
that would be the
not
argument?
Sure. What's the argument for keeping four?
Well, if you're concerned about Andre Williams' development in some capacity.
No, one of those. Here's the bottom line. If you keep four running backs and a fullback, one of those four running backs isn't getting a shirt on game day anyway.
Well, it's just
you're not having four running backs active.
It's just more of a protection, God forbid, an injury.
Well,
comes
that's
along
why you put Gaskins on the practice squad. If there's an injury,
and then
you
bring
him up
if he brings up. Yeah,
I don't think there's a strong need. The only reason I wanted to keep four running backs before is because I thought all four could contribute in a way. I thought all four had skill sets that could help, which is one of the reasons I considered, man, maybe you don't need a fullback.
But here's the other thing I'll throw in. I think when it comes to pass protection, and we're still very early in the preseason, John, so the conversation could change. From what I heard that Coughlin said and just hearing chatter, it seems as if Cox, they have a lot more confidence in picking up the schemes to protect the quarterback versus Andre Williams at this point. So that concern could perhaps lean them in the direction of retaining Michael Cox. Remember, Gaskins is also new to the system, so he still has yet to learn and fully digest all of the protection schemes. And I understand this offense has changed compared to what Gilbride called for with the running backs, but pass protection is an element that is omnipresent in every offense. So I don't care whether you're utilizing short passes or utilizing long passes, you still need your running backs to protect the quarterback. So with that being said, if I were to rank the confidence level in how the running backs protect the quarterback, I'd put Rashad Jennings at the top of the list. They've been very happy with what Jennings has been able to do in this system because he's been able to pass protect in the other systems that he's come from. Then after him, I'd put Peyton Hillis number two, and then I would put Michael Cox number three in terms of efficiency and pass protection. Andre Williams is fourth on the list, and Gaskins is right there too. That could change the conversation.
I mean, I'm not sure. I think Cox and Williams are on the same level.
Really?
I would put Hillis one, Jennings too, only because I've seen Hillis do it more. I think Jennings is going to be a fine pass protector. I'm not worried about
there's
him
no
at
concern
all
there
in that regard. I mean, did you see Michael Cox pass protect last year?
No, but I think that he's made some strides and he understands at least the concepts.
I think Williams has better size to be a better pass protector.
I give you that. He's got more durability. He's a bigger back. I'll buy that. I just think Cox still has some value. And the other thing to keep in mind, the Giants have a track record, John. They don't necessarily let their draft picks, whether they're seventh rounders or first rounders, all of a sudden, put on the market and let them go.
I've seen seventh rounders not make the team. You want to go back to, Stoney Woodson and DeAndre Wright, I think, back in 2008.
Was that the year they were drafted or the second year?
That was the year
they were drafted. Yeah. They weren't retained.
Correct.
Okay.
But we'll see. Look, I could easily see Michael Cox on the team. I could see a scenario where Cox is on the team. I could see a scenario where Gaskins is on the team. I could see a scenario where there's a fullback. I could see a scenario where there's no fullback. So we'll see what happens. And by the way, Gaskins has the size, too. You talk about Hillis playing that hybrid role. I haven't seen Gaskins use as a lead blocker, but he's a big kid.
Well, that gets back to the whole debate. Does Michael Cox, John, give you something that the others don't? And if the answer is yes, I think you lean towards keeping four.
And I think that's the argument. And Cox also, if David Wilson is there, gives you another guy that can do kicks. If Holiday doesn't make the team, he could back up Demps in that spot.
Well, if you're the fourth running back, you have to have special teams value.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you don't, then you're not staying on this team.
201-939-4513. We're going to go Jack in Tinton Falls. We've got him back on the line. Jack, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you, Jack? What do you got for us?
Do you think JPP is going to have a bounce-back season?
That's really the million-dollar question, isn't it? I mean, I was talking to a couple. I think Shona Harrah told me. He asked Jerry Reese a question yesterday on ESPN Radio. They were here doing their show. Don LaGreca was here. And Shona Harrah asked Jerry Reese this question. It was kind of a fill-in-the-blank. The Giants will have success this season if, and Jerry Reese's answer, if Eli Manning and Jason Pierre-Paul play well.
Okay.
So, Jack, in short, I think it'll really, you know, define whether or not the season goes well. Leave it this way. I think Jason Pierre-Paul will bounce back. I think he's going to be better. I think he'll fall short of that 15-sack guy that we saw a couple years ago. He'll be somewhere in between there.
Okay.
All right, Jack.
One more question?
Yeah, sure. What else you got, Jack?
Do you think...
All right, Jack, thanks for the call, bud. Giggle fest.
Yes, case of the giggles this morning. That's a good answer. JPP, Eli Manning, two guys that had shaky performances last season and two imperative pieces to this team.
Like our man Len likes to say, you got to get star production out of your stars. Stars got to play well if you want to win.
And I think they're both going to have bounce-back campaigns, but you hit it right on the nose, John. To expect JPP to return to a level where you think he's going to all of a sudden pull a 180 and give you 16, 17 sacks, and Eli Manning is going to give you, you know, his career-high numbers, that may be asking for a little too much.
But you know what? If JPP comes out, gives you 9 sacks, if Eli comes out as, you know, 30 touchdowns and 13 interceptions, 14 interceptions, that's pretty good. You take that.
That's better than good.
You'll
be very pleased with that. I'm actually bringing up Eli Manning's numbers throughout the course of his career. I want to recall the least amount of interceptions that he's ever had in a season.
I want to say it was.
I don't remember the exact number here.
In a full season, I want to say it was 14. And I think that was back in 2008.
Well, if he can do that,
I think.
That is a huge stride for this offense. Let's see. You can't count 2004. We got to go based on a full season.
Oh, 10 in 2008.
Yeah, 10 in 2008.
Yeah. Wow. I would go 14 was the second least. That was in 2009, but he had 10 in 2008. That's the year.
And that's also impressive. That was back-to-back seasons. I didn't remember this, where you're having two totals below 15 in back-to-back seasons.
Here's the trick, though.
08 and 09.
Look at 2008. He only threw for 3,200 yards, and he was able to be more protective of the football and be more conservative. Why? The Giants had the best running game in football in 2008. They ran the football right down people's throats.
You can make the argument then, taking it a step further from Jerry Reese's answer, that if the running game is respectable, then you would assume that obviously Eli's numbers are going to coincide with
that. And what do you need for the running game to be successful? You need your offensive line to play well. Protect the quarterback, run the football.
On that.
201-939-4513. We'll take three more calls, guys. Then we have to run. Let's go to Big Ed down in Maryland. What's going on, Big Ed?
What's up, fellas?
How are you, Ed?
What's up, Big Lance? What's up, Big John? We're back, baby! Here we go again!
What do you got for us this morning, Big Ed?
We have something new coming with us. We have something brand new coming with us this year, fellas.
What's that?
I got a 3-month-old named Solomon.
Big Solomon.
Wow.
Big Solly, baby. Yeah. I like that.
There
Big Solly.
That's a good football name.
Yeah,
Big Solly.
That's right. He's going to be a Titan. This guy is like 3 months old, and he's already like 15 pounds. This
takes after his
dad. So I'm looking for him to probably either be a major tight end or a serious wide receiver coming of age.
All right, Big Ed, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go up to the scouts. I'm going to put him into the system, and they're going to start tracking him now, okay?
All right, you can do that because he's going to go to camp. He's going to go to the youth camp. I'm going to bring him to the youth camp.
There we go.
Definitely.
Excellent. Well, based on the tight ends they have on this team, he may even make the depth chart.
Oh, he's going to make the depth chart. That's the funniest thing about it. I just want these tight ends to be catching the ball, man. I want them to catch the ball and definitely block. We have something. Fellas, I was going to make it to Canton. I don't know if I'm going to still make it or not. Maybe we can cross-coordinate something.
You got time, man. You got time to make it up here, Big Ed.
I know. If I do, we're going to have a good time. That's for sure.
Yeah,
you know
for
that.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
But biggest thing, five games, man, five preseason games. By the time we play New England, I don't want any starters in that New England game. Tell Coach, we can't have any starters playing that New England game.
Well, here's the thing. You have to play some because you're only going to have so many guys on the roster. But, look, guys like Eli, guys like Cruz, guys like JPP, if they play, it will be minimal.
Right. I don't want them playing at all.
No, I hear you.
We don't need to take the risk because this is the only year – we have five preseason games. We have five preseason games, and I don't know how long.
All right, well, okay, Big Ed.
You got five preseason games. You're supposed to know by the fourth game what you got and what you don't got.
Well, Big Ed, that's true. That's
true.
But I want to paint a slightly pessimistic picture for you. Let's say you get through the first four games, and your offense for the first four games has been brutal. Eli has looked out of sync. The offense has looked discombobulated. Victor Cruz has looked confused. The running game hasn't gotten going. The offensive line isn't protecting well. You have no idea who your starting tight end is at that point. Let's say all that goes wrong. And you get to that fifth preseason game and you're like, my God, we cannot start the season looking this way. Would you then consider playing the starters, at least the offensive guys, a little bit more in game number five?
Yeah, I want to definitely play the offense a lot more and then definitely give our second backup a lot more run.
Right.
He definitely has to play a lot more in that fifth game simply because he got a great arm, and then it's all about how well are these guys picking up the offense. How well are they picking up this new system? That's going to be the tale of the whole entire season. How well do you pick up this offense? Because picking it up right, optimistically thinking, this is number five right here. We got to go get number five. We prune to go back to Arizona and go get number five. That's the whole goal. That should be the biggest thing on the chart. But I want to also give some bulletin board information. I got a Dallas Cowboy friend, right? He's a big Cowboy fan. He sent me a terrible picture with a Cowboy kid taking a dump in a Giants helmet.
Oh,
so I want them to be bulletin board information coming up when we see them. Because we got a sweet Dallas and sweet Philly. I don't know what that's about.
Well, you know, Big Ed, you know what, Big Ed, Len said it before. If you want to go 10-6 this year, you better go 4-2 in the division. That's what you're going to have to do in the division if you want to win 10 games. Minimum 4-2. 3-3 is not going to get it done.
Honestly, guys, you guys are there. Your eyes have seen it. You've been seeing them practice. How well is the offense really clicking right now?
Not great yet. It's getting better. I see improvement, Big Ed. I see the offense opening up a little bit more. I'm seeing different types of plays, which I think are good things. But am I going to sit here and tell you that the offense looks like it's in midseason form and it's going to be a top 10 offense?
No. As long as they're connecting, that's the biggest thing. Because you got to connect. If you got the connection and you got the chemistry and you guys are working well with our big guy now, then we're going to be okay.
Well, there's at least one play every practice that I think you could point to, Big Ed, where you say, wow, you know, something looks really good and crisp about the offense. But then there's a bunch of other plays where, you know, nothing really stands out or a drop pass here or there.
And I think it's fair to say the defense has gotten the best of the offense in most practices so far this
season. Oh, my God, the defense is going to be explosive. Are you kidding me? We got three safeties. We can play three safety deep. There's no reason we should get beat. Please tell them. There's no reason we should get beat over the top deep at all with three safeties.
Well, Big Ed, here's the thing, though. I think with the pass rush being a question, I think there will be situations where you trust your corners to cover man-on-man without safety help because you want to bring some pressure and bring a blitz. And if that happens, you might have some big plays just because, you know, corners play man-on-man. It happens. You get beat deep sometimes. It happens to everybody. It happens to the best corners in football. It happens to Richard Sherman. It happens to Patrick Peterson. It happens. So I think you will see, you know, some plays down the field like that. But I do think the secondary will be one of the better ones in football, of course, assuming everyone stays healthy.
Yeah, and then the line. D-line looks amazing. if on paper and on practice, it looks amazing. The question will be when it come out in the game, as long as the guys can handle that middle and be the serious run stoppers. I'm just, the thing is going to be, is Air is going to be good off the edge with JPP on the other edge, as well as having the middle plugged up. And then I like Denard. Denard is great, man. Tell Denard, keep it up, man. Stay healthy and keep it up. You are doing a great job. Keep that up. We should be doing real. I just want to see some good football this week. You know, we on the top of the list, and we on everybody's list. They got to see us first. So I just want them to show a great game.
Thank
just
you, Big Ed.
Show a great game.
All right, Big Ed.
Look, I'm probably seeing you guys soon. I know that for sure. I know I'll be seeing you soon. I'm just not sure what game yet.
All right, man. Hit us up on Twitter. Let us
back
know.
With you.
Yeah, let us know on Twitter.
Okay, boss.
You got it, man. All right, Big Ed.
All right, Big John, Big Lance.
And Big Solly, too. Appreciate the phone call.
That's right.
All right, Big Ed.
Thanks, Big Ed. You know, it means the season's coming when you hear Big Ed.
Absolutely. He is in mid-season form already. You can tell.
I like it.
You were bringing up whether or not the offense is going to look good entering that fifth preseason game. If memory serves me correct, did Andre Brown get hurt against the Patriots last year in that final preseason game? Wasn't it against the Pats? I believe it was that final preseason game.
That's a really good question. I think you might be right.
I'm going to look it up to confirm. I believe it was that final preseason game.
I think you're right. I totally forgot about that, but I think you're right.
I mean, that's just at least the concern.
But look, here's the thing. You have to play somebody.
Of course. But I'm saying the Giants, you look back at history and you say, oh, well, remember what happened in our final preseason game last year. Now, he's been having injury issues over the course of his career.
Correct.
Doesn't mean, you know, Eli or somebody else, but those are the types of concerns that's in the back of Tom Coughlin's mind, regardless of how the offense performs.
And by the way, I'm not saying I think that's going to be what the offense is going to be at in terms of the final preseason game where they're going to be terrible until then. That's not what I think is going to happen, but I think it's a worst-case scenario where you can't just say, I'm not playing these guys no matter what.
And it was against the Pats. Just looked it up.
Yeah. All right, two more calls before we say goodbye. Joe in Lehigh Valley. Joe, good morning.
Good morning. What's up?
Doing well, Joe. How are you doing?
All right, just getting ready for football season, you know, Sunday coming up. But had a couple questions. You know, I like Larry Donnell. I've seen him play a couple of preseason, you know, and he's turned my head, you know, in late quarters. I think he's going to be a real X factor in his offense this year.
Well, you know, I'll put it this way, Joe. Larry Donnell has the size and height and the ability to block where he should be a solid tight end. I think sometimes he fights catching the ball a little bit, and sometimes he might have struggled sometimes being in the right place at the right time. But right now, I think he's number one on the depth chart, and he'll have every opportunity to be the starter.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with you there. And as far as the running backs, you know, I played ball in college, and that's what David Wilson had. That's what ended my career, and he's done. There's, you know, when he first got that injury, I knew right away he was done. He's done, you know, so you might as well just scratch him off the depth chart because he's never going to, you know, be the same or come back again, I feel.
Well, Joe, real quickly, I just want to update everybody, make sure everyone understands what's going on. He will meet with a specialist on Monday, Dr. Camisa. He's the guy that did the surgery on him, the spinal fusion surgery back in January, and that's when the Giants will have some type of word, definitive or not, on what the future of David Wilson is for the next couple games and potentially long term as well. So go ahead. What's your last point, Joe?
Yeah, but no, Andre Williams, played against him all through high school. He's from the same area I am. You know, coming out of high school, you know, wasn't, you know, really talked about. He's really going to do well because I'll tell you what, he's a hard worker. And, you know, he really came out of nowhere at Boston College. You know, nobody knew who he was until he started, you know, having that breakout year. Now, as far as pass protection, you know, Boston College pretty much just gave him the ball all the time.
Right.
So, you know, we really didn't really have much to see as far as pass blocking for the quarterback because, you know, they handed him ball 40 times a game. But I think he's really going to be the goal line back coming in. I think Jennings is going to be tough as well. But I like Michael Cox to make the roster also. I think he's a real hard runner. You know, UMass guy, seventh-round pick last year. And, you know, he really showed some signs of life in preseason games, you know, and, you know, sometimes that he got in. So I think he's a hard runner. I think he'll be, you know, he'll make the roster, and I think he'll be in the rotation. But, I mean, I look Hillis, I don't know, but I know Williams is really, you know, if it takes a couple weeks, but eventually I think, you know, it's going to be that, you know, 1-2 punch with Jennings and Williams, especially Williams down at the goal line.
Joe, I agree. I think right now if you're right and Wilson doesn't make it back, I think you're looking at no longer a three-headed monster in the backfield. I think you're looking at much more of a two-headed monster.
Yeah,
with
you know,
Williams
the old Thunder
and
Lightning with Dane and Barber, you know, yeah. Just, you know, feed him Jennings. And one more question for
yeah.
you. You know, how do you think the offense is going to be with, you know, McAdoo's new scheme? You know, it's really gone away from typical Giants offense, and I'd like to see how they incorporate the run in, you know, that West Coast offense as well. Because, you know, I'm anxious to see how, you know, this offense, you know, adapts to this, especially the way how bad our line played, you know, in order to, you know, that's key to anything. Our line's got to play well. But I'm interested to see how Eli Manning and, you know, the rest of the guys, you know, adapt to this because, you know, everybody's in the same boat, especially a rookie. If I was a rookie coming in the league to a new offense, I'd love to, you know, get a new offensive coordinator because everybody's in the same boat. They all need to learn a playbook. So, you know, I'm anxious to see what happens. So we'll see you on Sunday and the rest of the preseason. But appreciate taking your call. Go Blue.
All right, Joe. Thanks
appreciate
for calling.
The phone call.
Very good call. I like it.
And
yeah.
a good
call
question
back,
that he posed at the end in terms of how will they run the football, how much will they run the football. Even though Ben McAdoo is coming in with his own principles, John, we can't forget that Tom Coughlin, though, is a run guy.
Well, and there's nothing that says you can't run the ball in the West Coast offense.
Correct.
Let's pause here for a second. We've had 1,000 yards back in West Coast offense all over the place. Go back to Roger Craig. Go back to Ricky Waters. The Packers back in the day when they had the Edgar Bennett's and the Dorsey Levins and all those guys.
Even most recently, the Niners with Frank Gore.
How about
Eddie Lacy last year.
1,300-yard
yeah.
rusher.
Good point, yeah.
You could run the football. Now it's a different scheme. You do a little zone scheme, things like that. And look, I think the Giants are going to get back to running the ball a lot this year. I agree. I think Williams and Jennings will end up being a very good two-headed monster combination. You know, Jennings will be the more versatile guy, pass protector, catching out of the backfield. Williams has struggled catching the ball a little bit out of the backfield since summer practice has started. But I think they'll be fine. If you know, Williams is getting 10 carries a game and Jennings is getting 15 and maybe Hillis gets a couple, you're fine with that.
They're fine. As long as those guys all stay healthy, yeah. I think that they could get through a 16-game slate.
Not a problem.
And Joe was bringing up the fact, when I touched on earlier in the program, that he wasn't really asked to pass protect at Boston College. He wasn't asked to receive the ball either in right. Boston College. So these are where you start to hone those skills so that you can maybe put him in different spots.
Now, I've asked around and I've seen guys talk about it, though. I haven't seen anybody really express any concern about his ability to pass protect. People think he's going to be able to learn how to do it and be good at it. And number two, I will say this, and I've said this from the start, that this really looks like a full West Coast offense. The last couple of days of practice, and I was talking to Carl Banks about this yesterday, and he saw it too. We're seeing a little bit more of the Tom Coughlin offense, I think, the last few days. The more they're installing, and we're seeing some more down-the-field stuff, I'm seeing some more stuff where it's like, you know what? That looks like a Tom Coughlin offense a little bit.
And that's why we were talking in the offseason. It was a cliche, because you said it 1,000 times, a little mixture of both, which I think is fair to say.
And I think you're seeing that more now. You're seeing those deep combination routes, guys doing long routes down the field. So I think you're seeing more Tom in the offense the last few days as they – and remember, we said it too. We said, look, they only have about 50% of the offense installed. So that could very well change our opinion as we go along. I am seeing a little bit more Tom in the system here as we move along.
I would have been extremely surprised, John, if the Giants shedded their identity completely.
Right.
Coughlin's still here.
Strangely, it was looking that way through spring.
It was, but at the end of the day, yep. there's only so much you're going to reveal during the course of OTA and minicamp.
Final call of the show. You know, you haven't heard from for a long time? The guy who provides Paul Dottino.
Oh, baby.
With the tang for his tanning baths. And that's Dave up in Rochester. Dave, what's going on, pal?
Fellas, good morning. Hey, did you see the Michael Eisen baby?
No, what are
no,
you talking
I saw
about?
Though tons of other pictures that you sent down on Twitter.
Oh, the Michael Eisen baby with the mustache. Oh, it's hilarious. I'll have to do it again so you can see it.
All right, yeah, send it over.
Hey, but the real question is, I don't know, Lance. I don't know if you knew this, but before the wedding, Johnny said he was going to and such he's such a good friend, he was going to round up some honeys for you at the wedding, and you know try to hook it up.
Well, he failed in that department, but I'll tell you that.
Wait, though, first of all, it's not my fault. We have pictures of Lance being surrounded by the ladies on the dance floor. It's not my fault he couldn't close the deal.
Oh, I see. This is what happens. It gets deflected back to me. He talks a big game, Dave, and then all of a sudden he throws it back on my lap.
Hey, my wife had a number of single and attractive bridesmaids, and, you know, Lance decided not to make
it. In fairness, I think those numbers were blown out of proportion a little. I don't think the ratios were on point how I was being sold that in the days and weeks leading up to the event.
Well, in fairness, I didn't
as if
really
it was an overwhelming amount of single ladies there.
Well, I mean, there were a few. There were
a
enough
few.
For you to make a mark.
Oh, Lance, he said he was going to round up some honeys for you. You did say, though, he's going to bring a stack of phone books for you to step on and make out with the chicks.
I see, Dave. Yeah, I'm getting, beat up here from all angles.
Well, see, Dave, here's the thing. Going in, I can pump up Lance all I want. Eventually, they're still going to have to see the genuine article.
All right, well, I was just checking. Hey, I just want to tell you, I'm going to the game next weekend in New York, the Pittsburgh preseason game.
Oh, nice.
So,
now, here's what I want, Dave. Now, you know how fans, like, dress up for games, like, as players and stuff? I want you to dress up like Paul DeTina.
You got it. You totally got it.
You got to dress up like Paul DeTina. I'd start working on the tan or start painting yourself orange over the next few days.
Now, Dave, I apologize I interrupted you. Were you about to say this is your first Giants game or no?
This is my first Giants game, my first time in New York, believe it or not, living in Rochester. No,
oh,
never
wow.
been in.
That's great, man.
Stay away from Times Square.
Well, you know, it's funny. I got a real cool hotel, which is about a mile from Times Square. And it's got a rooftop bar and everything.
What's
so
the name of it?
It's called Pod 39.
Oh, you know what? I've actually heard of that hotel before. I hear it's actually pretty nice.
Yeah. So it should be cool. So I'm going to go to the game, first time in Giants Stadium. So, maybe I'll see you guys or I'll tweet a picture or something. So.
Absolutely. Dave, no question about it. Come down.
Don't be a stranger.
Let us know.
All right, fellas. You have a good one. Take care.
Hey,
all right,
you Dave.
David.
You know, he wanted the...
Vading New York.
So he wanted the Lance update from the wedding.
Yes, well, clearly, we couldn't live without that. You know, he was beating up Paul DeTino so much, I figured I'm going to get it sometime
soon.
Well,
and there it was.
There you go.
Well, and he was giving it to me a lot leading up to the wedding.
Oh,
so
really? Okay.
It was your turn. Okay.
We spread the wealth here. Equal opportunists.
Yes,
that's what it comes down to.
I'm curious to see what Dave actually looks like. Oh, because his Twitter icon's always DeTino. I don't even know what Dave
looks
like.
Yeah, that's true.
No,
it's like he's taken his identity.
Yeah.
So it shouldn't be hard for him to dress up like
that.
Well,
luckily, Paul has the speed walking skill, so if he can speed walk away from Dave in Rochester, if he, like,
yes.
tries to stalk
but
him or something.
But we do have to arrange a picture between Paul DeTino and Dave in Rochester.
We do.
That's a must.
Yes.
That's why Dave needs to make sure that he gets in contact with us, because I got to see the interaction between DeTino and him.
I'm not sure if Paul would handle that well.
I don't know, yes. I don't even know that DeTino realizes that he's got his own Facebook page dedicated to his pants, too.
No,
how about that?
He
knows?
He was not pleased.
Of course. Yeah, but then he brushes it off, goes for a walk, and forgets about it.
Okay.
Come on, you know,
okay.
DeTino. He goes back to his depth chart and
all
starts
Lance,
erasing and penciling it in or
his
whatever.
His yellow legal pad.
Exactly.
Final thoughts, Lance. Giants, Sunday night, what are the things you're keeping an eye on? What are the things most important to you heading into that game?
Well, to sum it all up, how this offense is structured and how personnel is utilized, most notably when the first team is out there. It's not that I'm not looking forward to seeing some of these guys who are third and fourth on the depth chart. That's how you round out your team. But, you know, I think we're going to get a taste in the first quarter as to, you know, how crisp Eli Manning looks, how comfortable he looks in orchestrating the offense. I'm also interested to see how quick the pace of the offense
that's
is,
a good
not
one.
Just how the alignment is,
agree
too.
Agree with that 100%. I want to see how the offensive line protects and works as a unit, too. You know, the Bills have a good pass rush. Mario Williams, you know the names. I'm going to tell them to you. But they have a lot of good pass rushers. I want to see this offensive line gels together and plays as a unit. And frankly, I would like to see Ruben Randle make some plays. I want to see him start unveiling himself in games, not just practices. I want to see Ruben Randle make a couple plays. This is third year. It's time. Time to start making some plays, Rube.
And you know what? That would actually put a little bit more pressure on a guy like Odell Beckham Jr. So that's not a bad thing for this team. I'm not saying that Odell's not going to make the team, but you know what? If the third or fourth guy in the depth chart, John, starts to step up, Odell's got to be thinking, hey, you know what? I'm missing reps. I'm not out there.
Hey, one guy we even talked about, Jarrell Jernigan's got to build on his end of the season last year. People want to say he's, you know, the future now and he can do something. Let's see it in games. Let's see it in preseason games. These count. For Jarrell Jernigan, these games matter. They count. Let's see some plays, will you?
Absolutely.
And listen. I want to see JPP be disruptive, too, with his reps. Make some plays.
You want to see consistency during the preseason, because if you see consistency, then that's a good sign that players have turned the corner. If you see, you know, Jernigan have one good game, he disappears for four, to me, all that is the repetition of the regular season, because we've seen games where Jernigan has shined, and then we've seen games where he hasn't really been involved in the offense, not necessarily because the plays are not called for him, but he can't separate from the rest of the pack. So if we see consistency out of Jernigan, then we could say, okay, maybe the three games wasn't a fluke last season. There's actually some stability and there's some substance behind his game.
All right, Lance, excellent job as always. We'll see you next week. When's your first show next week?
Tuesday.
All right.
We'll be back in the mix. And we should make sure that everybody knows that they can listen to the broadcast on Giants.com. They don't necessarily have to be tuning to their radio.
And the radio broadcast this week can be heard on WCBS News Radio 880. The Mets are on the Yankees are on WFAN.
I was wondering why we weren't on WFAN,
and
now that makes sense. Yankees,
and
Red Sox.
In
of all
the past,
weekends.
By the way, the Mets have been gracious enough in September when typically they're out of the playoff race because of the Mets, after all. They're not in the playoff race. They would allow the Giants to move over to FAN.
Makes sense.
From what I understand, the Yankees will not be quite as gracious,
no.
Mostly because they're probably going to be in a playoff race and they're going to want their games on their flagship, which is totally understandable. The Giants would do the same thing if they had that in their contract, which is fine. So we'll be on WCBS News Radio 880 for a good portion of our early games this season. A couple will be on the Giants when the Yankees either have off or play day games or on at night. So just go to Giants.com, check out the schedule. WFAN.com will have the schedule as well. They'll tell you where to find the Giants games. But pregame's at 7:05 on Sunday night. Game time at 8:05, and then Lance and Jeff Eagles of the postgame for an hour thereafter. So make sure you check it out. For Lance Meadow, I'm John Schmelk. We'll be back with you on Monday morning for another episode of Big Blue Kickoff Live starting at 9:30. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the game on Sunday. We'll see you then.